sports, talent, and brands. Woo! This is the Sit Down, standing tall together.
And today's guest is Irish canoeist Liam Jago, who's fresh from winning Ireland's first ever K1 gold medal at the World Cup in Pau. Liam, you're very welcome to the Sit Down.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
So I want to say congratulations to you, first of all, for the World Cup gold in Pau.
Thank you. Brilliant way to finish off the season, a short season, but a good one.
Yeah. Did that take you by surprise, the fact that you won?
I had prepared pretty well for that race. But I trained really, really well over the whole summer and just didn't have any competitions to kind of see where I was at. Competition wise. So I was feeling really confident before the race. I knew how I was paddling at the moment, and I know the course very well. I live in Pau, so I was confident. Definitely, I was hoping to win, obviously, but from there on, going and doing it was a whole other story.
And I watched the video of you actually taking part and of you winning, but it looks like such a physically demanding sport. When you're going through the race, what's going through your mind? And did you know that you were going to win it? When did you realize I've won? Or do you know during the race how you're doing?
It is a very physical sport. It mixes the physicality and technique really well. I think it's a fine balance. You can't just be all power and no technique. And during the run, I started off really well. I wanted to take some risk and just really go for it. We kind of sat down with my coach before the run and just said, okay, we'll try and go and win this and not think about anything else. Just try and take all the fast lines and take the risky moves. And that's what I did. And just kept on taking those risks, kept on doing the moves really fast. And towards the bottom, I knew I was on a really good run. And once I got past that last upstream gate, I just sprinted to the final. And even before seeing the time, I knew it was a really good run. So I was just really thrilled to have put down a big run in a World Cup final.
And what's going through your mind? I mean, working in a sport like that and at such a high level, you must have made so many sacrifices throughout your life and, you know, missed out on other things that people not involved in sports at your level. So what was going through your mind when you won?
I don't think of it as a sacrifice. It's a huge investment for sure. I've been training very, very hard since pretty much 12 years old. My dad used to coach me, so I was lucky in that aspect. I had a coach at home, so I had great training plans straight away, right from the get-go. But you miss out on some things, but you experience some unbelievable things as well through the sport. I got to visit some incredible places, paddle in some beautiful rivers. Went to Bosnia when I was 15 for my first junior European championships, and those are memories I'll keep forever with me. So I don't see it as a sacrifice. It's not always easy, but I do it because I love it.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you there, because you mentioned your dad was helping you in sport. You have a very interesting background in that you grew up in Clare till the age of 7, and you played a few different sports. And please just talk me through how you came to choosing canoeing and, you grew up in different countries, and how did that affect you?
Yeah, I think you could definitely say I have had a multicultural upbringing. I was born in Brittany in France. Straight away, I moved to Switzerland for 2 years in Châteauday in the mountains. Then moved to Ballyvaughan in Ireland, where I have my first memories. And my dad used to own a sea kayaking company in Ballyvaughan in the late 90s. And so that's where paddling kind of started for me. So I remember going paddling with my dad sometimes, playing some Gaelic football as well. My skills in Gaelic football are probably no good anymore. But they're great memories. And it's definitely, my dad has definitely been and it still is a huge influence on me. He's the one that put me into a boat and that kind of gave me the opportunity to live this lifestyle. Before I was 14, I was traveling all over the place, going training on rivers in Slovenia, Slovakia. So I'm very grateful for that. Yeah.
And what was it that made you stick with canoeing?
I've always loved the sport, just being outside, out on the river. It's brilliant. It changes all the time. You can paddle on all sorts of different kinds of rivers, artificial, natural. Things you see as well, because it's a sport where you have to travel a lot to train. We race all over the place, all over Europe, countries that I might not have visited before if I hadn't paddled. And the training as well is something I really enjoy. I started racing quite early. The first international race I did, I was 14 years old. It was in Slovenia. And I was quite successful straight away. I won those two international races I did when I was 14. And I just loved it. I'm really competitive. I love the sport. So it's perfect for me.
And so you say you're very competitive. Do you know what makes you competitive? What motivates you?
I don't know. I love training and bettering myself. And I also like that confrontation, that competition aspect of trying to be the fastest on the day. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm just, it's all a game for me. And so I can definitely say my work is a game.
Yes, and we were speaking a little bit earlier about your training schedule, and it's still really full on. Tell me about what's a typical day for you.
Right now it's quite busy. So we're getting into winter training now. So it's essentially two sessions a day. I'd spend two or three sessions in the gym during the week, and the rest of the time on the water, either doing flat water to improve on my conditioning, or on the white water, working on my white water abilities and technique.
Okay, and is it true that you wouldn't be able to do this sport in Ireland if you were living here? Because you're based in France, you have access to the type of water that you need. Is that true?
I think it's possible, and I think some of the lads have showed it through their performances. It's just a lot more difficult to train in Ireland at the moment, because the infrastructure, the whitewater courses we have in Ireland are inexistent. There is no international standard whitewater course. And in a sport like canoe slalom, that's extremely difficult. It involves then traveling an awful lot. The guys who train in Dublin are always abroad training, traveling. So my choice to move in Pau is strictly professional, really. I think there's no emotion in performance in training. I'm going to go where I can train the best and where I can improve the best. And right now, I think Pau is the best place for me to train. I have a world-class whitewater course and perfect training conditions.
Yeah. And how has Ireland supported you? Because you're based abroad, but obviously you lived here for years, and you've kept your accent very well. But how has Ireland supported you?
So I receive a huge amount of support from them, and it's always really heartwarming. In terms of support, I mean, Sport Ireland, the Olympic Council, have always been really supportive of me, have really helped me in my career, and have given me the opportunity to race in different places and to have access to coaching and all of that, those sort of things. And I'm sorry, I got a bit lost there in the question there.
Yeah, no, just interested in to see how, Ireland has supported you, because, you know, we're obviously so proud to have someone like you representing us at the Tokyo Olympics. And I wanted to ask you, it's been put off this year till next year, but how has that affected your mental health? And for all of the athletes that are going to be competing, you'll be a year older, there's another year to go. How has it affected you mentally?
I think at this stage in my career, it's not a really bad thing for me. I'm 24 this year. Next year I'll be 25, so I'll still be peaking. So from a performance point of view, it doesn't bother me. Obviously, it's been a complicated year for everybody. But I just kept on training hard. Tried not to think too much about Tokyo. Really, just tried to push myself every single day and improve as an athlete, as a paddler. And that's it. And that's where my focus was at. Now Tokyo is right around the corner. I'm really excited to hopefully get out to Japan soon, and get back into that Olympic mood.
Yeah, and do you feel lucky? Because as you said there, you're only 24. You'll only be 25 when you're competing in the Olympics. So if you'd been a bit older, maybe would you be maybe passing your peak age? And could it have affected you on a different level if you were a few years older?
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely giving me an extra year to improve that I think I've used really, really well. For someone who's a little bit further in their career, it might be more difficult, but I think 1 year in slalom, it won't make that huge of a difference. It can only be a good thing, I think. That's the way I see it anyways.
Right. And have you any different opportunities this year that maybe you wouldn't have had time for in other times if Tokyo had gone ahead this year?
Yeah, no, I spent a lot of time this summer just training. I really wanted to use this time off to good use, to improve on my paddling. So I worked on a lot of different things that I might not have worked on had this situation not happened. And I think I really improved physically. I just saw it as an extra couple of months to prepare for Tokyo. And that's it, really. It's been a lot of paddling, gym work, a bit of climbing, and that's it.
And is the sport, do you find it dangerous at all? Because it doesn't look like it's physically so demanding, and obviously you need all that upper body strength. Do you ever feel like you're in danger when you're out there?
No, not in canoe slalom. Canoe slalom, the courses we paddle on aren't don't have too much volume. So it feels quite safe anyways, but definitely the guys doing a creaking extreme kayaking, it's a whole different story, but I haven't gotten into that yet. I don't know if I will.
And I want to ask you about sport as a business. How do you think canoe slalom fits into that?
I think it's a thrilling sport to watch. Maybe I'm a little bit biased. It's exciting even for the untrained eye. Recently the IOC the ICF has proposed a new discipline for slalom at the Olympics for 2024. So that's quite exciting as well. It's called extreme slalom, and I think it's a great opportunity as well for me to compete in another discipline at the Olympics. And I definitely think it's nice to watch.
So is that going to be even more more difficult and physically demanding and more dangerous, as I would see it, than what you're currently doing?
It's a very physical discipline. It doesn't resemble what I do at all. It'll be a big challenge for me anyways, but I wouldn't say it's dangerous. It's definitely a bit more of a fight. It's a border cross, so there's four paddlers going off a ramp together down the course. I think the worst thing that could happen to you is a paddle to the face, but not life-threatening anyways.
Okay, Liam, and most athletes get sponsorship. Can you tell me about who is sponsoring you and how it's helping and supporting you?
Yeah, so there's been a big change for me since end of 2008 when I met Mike Corcoran, who happens to be the last C1 paddler from Ireland to qualify for the Olympics. I wasn't with a coach at that time, and Mike decided to sponsor me, help me out to find a coach and to to finance that coach. So I got to start working with Nico Pichy, who went to the Olympics for France in 2004. And also through that work with Nico, to start working with the sports approach, which helps me with my S&C training plans and career management. So we were speaking about post-career opportunities, but they also helped me keep my feet on the ground on that regards.
How do they help you keep your feet on the ground?
Everything's very structured. I know exactly where I'm going with my training plans. I'm very happy with that. And they also remind me that there's a career after sports. How to use that the career I've had in business later on.
And how has Mike inspired you with his own background?
Well, Mike was a great team on paddler. First of all, he's the last team on paddler to win a World Cup medal as well in '93. And he was a touch away from winning bronze at the Olympics in '92. So he's a huge inspiration anyways. And it's always great to talk to him about his career and his experience. He was at the World Cup in Po as well. So it was nice to share that moment with him as well.
Brilliant. And sponsorship going forward, is there any sort of dream sponsor that you'd love to work with? Anything like that?
Oh, dream sponsor. I'm a big fan of Jess Fox, who's an Australian K1 paddler. She's probably the GOAT of canoe slalom. And she has some pretty cool sponsors. She works with Red Bull, Adidas. So those are definitely the sponsors I'd aim to get. But also I love cruising around in my van. So if Renault want to hook me up with a with a kitted out van, I won't say no.
Well, you never know. You're doing so well. You're definitely on a winning streak. So I wouldn't be surprised if you get hit up from any of those brands in the future.
That'd be nice.
What about commercially? What brands would you like to use in sports, and what brands support you?
I work a lot with outdoor gear, so I love Patagonia equipment, gear that lasts a long time and that's very practical. And then in the gym, I'm usually with Under Armour, that works for me the best. And it's just trying to interest brands that want to support me in my journey towards Tokyo and then Paris and then hopefully LA.
And does the different brands make a difference, do you find, to how you perform?
Definitely. I mean, nutrition-wise, the brands you use are very, very important. They need to be batch tested, sport informed, certified. The equipment I use in the gym, it has to be. I spend a lot of time in the gym and outside, so the equipment I use has to be good. So I definitely make sure to have the best equipment there.
Okay, great. And I wanted to ask you about your challenges. Like, you seem to be such a positive person, and you're using everything that's happening to your advantage, and even seeing it as extra time to keep practicing and training and improving. But what are the challenges that are facing you, outside of sport and in your personal life, for example, and where you're based? Or are there any challenges for you?
I've recently finished my degree in university. So I said to myself that up until the Olympics, I'll solely focus on paddling and improving for that big race next year. And after that, I'm not too sure. I'm planning on becoming a volunteer firefighter after the Olympics, just because this whole situation is kind of made me want to help out when I can. You do feel a little bit useless when you're stuck at home and people are fighting against this pandemic. I've plenty of family members who are nurses, so definitely sensibilized to that. So that's something I'd like to do after the games anyways, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So wanted to ask you, I'm kind of guessing we already know the answer, but for your career so far, what has been your favorite sporting moment?
Favorite sporting moment? Obviously, the World Cup in Poe was a pretty good one for me, but I have so many to pick from as well. Even when the result didn't go my way, just experiences coming second at the Junior World Championships in Australia in 2014 was brilliant. My first Junior European Championships in Banja Luka was a great moment as well. It's really hard to pick from. Yeah.
I wanted to ask your advice for any upcoming athletes, anyone young, and maybe they're struggling at the moment. You seem to have your be very mentally strong. How much of that do you attribute to getting a lot of physical exercise?
I think it's definitely very important. I think sport really helps you in life in general. I think everything I'm doing now is going to help me later on when I'm not a high performance athlete. So I definitely encourage anyone to pick up a sport, anything really, at any level as well. You don't have to train 2-3 times a day to get the benefits of sport. Find something you love and spend time doing it.
Yeah. And so that's your advice for young people who want to become to make it to the Olympics. If someone had told you when you had taken up the sport, I know you were very young, that you'd make it to the Olympics, would you have taken it seriously? Or was it something that was always in your mind that I can do this? Like, did you have that anything is possible type of an attitude?
It's definitely something I've been dreaming of for forever, really. I can't remember the first time I thought about the Olympics, but it feels like it's something that's always been a part of me. I started paddling slalom, I must have been 7, and I think straight away my dad was like, oh, you can go do the Olympics, like Mardigan, who's a Slovak Simon paddler, did the Olympics at 17 and won them. And so when I heard that, I was like, oh, I'll just do that then, as if it was nothing. So it's definitely something I've always dreamed of, and I've always put a lot of effort into making it become a reality. I never thought to myself I wasn't going to go to the Olympics. Maybe it's a bit arrogant, I don't know, but it's always been the goal for me.
And I'll just ask you some lighthearted questions now. So you're obviously extremely busy with training for the Olympics. Is there anything else you have time for in your life? Any other interests or hobbies?
It takes a lot of time for sure, but I'm very active. I love being outside. So as soon as I can grab my surfboard and go surfing in the Basque Country, I will. I love to go bouldering. So as soon as I get the opportunity, I go. My life is definitely centered around outdoor sports. I play a little bit of the guitar here and there for fun, nothing crazy, but and that's pretty much it. I've a kitted out van as well that I love. As soon as I get some time off to get the van and then drive off, go discover some new river or go and surf somewhere on the coast.
Wow, you're pretty multi-talented. So you play the guitar as well and you're a surfer.
My guitar skills are not great. I have a guitar, but I don't know if I can say that I definitely play the guitar, but I have a guitar anyways.
Okay, Liam. Well, multi-talented Liam Jagu, thank you so much for joining us. And it was a pleasure speaking to you today. And I'm sure you have a very busy schedule ahead of you for the rest of the day, whether you're training or surfing or playing the guitar.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. And of course, the best of luck from everyone here at Sport Endorse and from everyone in Ireland. The best of luck. And we'll be cheering for you, of course.
Thank you. Thanks.
What an inspiring young athlete. And that is all for this week. Thanks once again to Liam and to everyone continuing to download and listen to The Sit Down. We truly appreciate all of your support. And if you're interested in partnering with any of our talent, the Sport and Doors platform is now live. You can review and engage talent at www.platform.sportanddoors.com or download the Sport and Doors app through the Apple Store or Google Play. Be sure to follow Sport and Doors on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. And until next time, stay safe and take care.
Sports, talent, and brands. Woo!